Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Hey, everybody, advocate. Welcome to the show. Another episode of the Pitbull Advocates. My name is Doc Father, and right there with us is Joe Frazier, Love a Pit Rescue out in Oregon Way. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Doing good.
All right. Hey, we were just talking off the air, everybody. Dog Mother is due to arrive at any minute now, and it could get a little noisy here. So we'll just carry on with our show, Joe, and I'll try and get myself into a space where it's a little more conducive to being able to hear you guys and you guys being able to hear us. Without the it's crazy. We love it, but that's why we do it. It just kind of goes on here, and it adds a little bit of I don't know, it's a little fun to the show, having to try and work around challenges like this. Advocates, I know, in case you're wondering, Diane Lynn is no longer with the show. She's gone on to do her own thing, and we wish her the best of luck in that. And Joe, you and I have been in this we've been in this line of work for quite a bit of time, and worked a lot of people. And with the last show, we talked about the thing about teamwork. Everybody talks about teamwork. Just in my experience, Joe, I've been in the advocacy upwards of 16 years. We've been doing this show for 10 years. A lot of people have come and gone, and a lot of those people that we still communicate with and so on. But then there's other ones that, it comes down to the teamwork thing, and there's no I in the team. We've all heard that expression. There's no I in the team. And, Joe, we talked about this, and when someone tells me, Joe, I want to get your feelings on these statements. I did this for you. I did that for you. I did this, and I did this. And then somewhere along the lines, bad-mouthing comes into play. And that's where my support for you ends, if you want to be that way. It's unfortunate that sometimes bridges get burned, but make sure you're not on the bridge when you set fire to it. And, I'm not going to go out and say who said what and when this, it's just, things that come up. And Joe, I want to let you know that I appreciate you and everything you've done for the show, the Pitbull Advocate, everything you've done for pit bulls in Oregon, and you've even gone out of state to work with dogs, and everything you do at Love a Pit Rescue. So I do my first shout out to Joe Frazier at Love a Pit Rescue, who's right here with us tonight, Jennifer Kennedy, Unchained USA, Debbie Dahmer, Voices Carry for Animals, and a someone I've known for a very long time, who's been a mentor to me, someone I've learned a lot from, Mary Quinn from All Aboard Rescue. She's in Lake County, California now. So everybody out there that you're, you're doing all this work with the dogs and doing it for the dogs and not to raise your status in some advocacy hierarchy that doesn't exist. You're doing it for the dogs, and we want to give you the recognition for everything that you've done, for us here at the Pitbull Advocate and for the dogs. So with that said, thank you very much, all of you. And Joe, your thoughts on the teamwork? Anything, your thoughts on
that?
Well,
I mean, this isn't the first time we've hit speed bumps on it. Members come and members go.
No.
And, like our slogan says, as we intro in, never give in, never give up. And we'll just keep moving along as we always have.
That's right. That's right. You know, we've been doing this a while. We've been, you know, we've been around, and, you know, we plan on, I plan on keeping going. I'm not slowing down anytime soon. You know, we had our 1 month person come up and give us another month for, you know, coming up for April. And things are looking up. Things have always been looking up for us. Things have always been moving forward. And that's the way I want to keep it. And yeah. So we're waiting on tonight's guest advocates, Terry Holt from the Anti-Breedism Alliance. He's in Australia. Time zone differences, you know, kind of throw us out. Joe, you know, there goes even just with the time change from daylight savings back into standard time, kind of threw us all for a loop there. And trying to, what time is it there? You know, it's just, you know, it's takes us a little while to get back into that flow. But now that we've got it all figured out, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. So, you know, like Diane was saying, for the next 3 weeks, all you're going to hear is Dog Father talking about Chance
the premiere.
We've got a little surprise on the line here for you, advocates. So just hang tight. Am I right on this date, April 5th? We're going to April 5th screening.
That's what I understand.
Okay. Well, there's one person here. Actually, if we want to just go ahead and do this now, there's one person here that can tell us exactly what's going on with that event. And of course, the big premiere, which we all know is April 8th. And that's National Dog Fighting Awareness Day. And the person that can tell us if we're on the right page here is Brandon Wynn from Chance the Film. How you doing, Brandon? Thanks for calling in tonight.
No problem.
Anytime for you. Yeah, you know, we appreciate that, man. You guys are like some of our biggest supporters there, guys, to come along and really kind of, I mean, just hearing the things that you had to say makes me think, wow, this is great, you know. Gets me more pumped up, you know, to get more shows scheduled and stuff like that. So, Brandon, the private screenings we're talking about, April 5th, is that correct? We have
yes,
that one right?
So, yeah, we're going to, I hear the prime details, maybe within this week we're going to really push it, but it's going to be in Northern Hollywood, and it's actually going to be open to the public. So, but April 5th is the opening, and limited 1 week run. We have some distribution meetings going on, so we're going to kind of try to strategize a little bit around that time. But there's other cities that are interested in taking it to. But as of now, yes, April 5th is the day. Northern Hollywood. It will be in a movie theater, as if you went to buy tickets to, you know, another film. So Chance will be available the full 92 minutes, and it'll be running all week.
All right, and here we go. I wish he'd learn how to bark like a real dog. Pardon? Can you guys hear that?
Are those our dogs, or did somebody else get on?
Oh my goodness! No, we have three, and it was Shavaya is our eldest, and Miley, and then Lalo is a little guy, and he doesn't bark; he wails. And it's it can. Oh boy! So I've actually stepped out of the studio. Wait for Dog Mother to get in and get this crew settled down here tonight. Yeah, really. I see a lot, Brandon. A lot of the chatter and a lot of things getting shared, and you know, the comments that people are making on some of these posts about the show and some of the updates you have up there. We always share those on the Pitbull Advocate Facebook page.
Appreciate
that. So, advocates, if you're if you got the Facebook thing, you know, facebook.com/ the Pitbull Advocate, and while you're there, be sure and like it. But it's getting a lot of attention throughout the world of Pitbull advocates and advocacies, and some of the, you know, a lot of people are, you know, see, you know, a lot of this, they're getting some shares, and it's really getting out there, and I think that's great.
It's kind of amazing how one breed, and dogs in general, how one breed can band a lot of people together, you know, pit bulls per se. You know, I'm a dog guy myself. It's pretty interesting to see, along with Chance and even the topic in general. You look at a lot of other pit bull pages, Pitty Nation. I mean, this breed is really loved around the world, you know, and under, you know, defended, forgiven, you know. It's pretty interesting to see. You know, we see a lot of that from the film as well. So it's kind of crazy.
It's
honest,
great.
In a good way. It's kind of,
hey guys,
this film is huge. Me, Phil, and Kenny were meeting yesterday, and we were in Hollywood, and we probably sat down for about 8 hours and just really talked and, you know, casual, very casual, but then the business were coming in between, and, you know, Chance isn't just a release, you know, this film is going to be around for a long time, forever, no matter how big it's going to be or how small it's going to be. It's always going to be one of those films that's referenced, and it's pretty unique, you know, the fact that we brought the pit bull in and animated and kind of crossed the line that a lot of, I'm not going to speak on studios per se, but it's a fine line that a lot of people were scared to touch. And at one point, people were scared to touch Pitbull, you know? And if you, maybe, what, 15 years ago, you know, 20 years ago? Because I had American Staffordshire Terriers, and people still walk across the street now. But, you know, this breed has become understood, you know, as time has come. And now you kind of see them, not everywhere, but, you know, you see happy Pitbulls running around all the time, and people defending him, and you got these groups worldwide. So it's, Chance isn't going anywhere, and that's the beauty of this project. You know, it's going to be everlasting, no matter if we take it Netflix route, limited theatrical, or just straight independent VOD. This film's going to be around, and it is a special project. But it also is, it's pretty interesting to see the people around the world, like you, the advocates, and other, just, it's pretty interesting. It's huge. You know, it's probably unlike any film that Kenny and Phil have done ever, you know, even me, because it's bringing people out, you know, and emotion and passion. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, since the trailer has hit my page, just to see all the different reactions from different advocates, from, you know, saying that they were not going to be able to watch the movie, to looking forward to it, to thinking fighting shouldn't be addressed in an animation. It's like, what, you'd rather them use real dogs? You know, so, I mean, there's been some controversy, and there's been some support on just my personal page, and it hasn't even hit the rescue page yet. We ourselves, we think that this is something that's needed to be brought out into the public light for a long time, make people aware, and we're super excited to be behind it.
Oh yeah, it's. I agree. It's definitely. And I'm not trying to say this in a good way. The controversy is really what makes the film even more aware. Sadly, you know, the fact that we did cross the line, and we've noticed that with certain things we've shared. We tried to ease down some things, and you know, it. Once people actually saw us really going in there, that's where the interest of the film was. Like, wait a second, you know, the moment when the puppies got stolen. That's not a bad line, but that's when the threshold was crossed. And it is, there are Hollywood people that love it, you know, but they're scared to pull that last little trigger until they see that the world wants it. But I can say that we get the same reaction, and it's pretty interesting. But the film, once you actually watch the film, it's not as it's a very good journey, I will put it that way. And some people might go in with their eyes, they might take 3 months to finally get the courage to watch it, but once you actually open it up, it's a beautiful journey. It's happy. It's a dog that promotes happiness and faith. You know, that's what the story is about. Yes, it's dogfighting, but it's really about a story about a dog that stands up and that has faith, and no matter what its circumstance is, you know, matter what its circumstance is, he's going to find the happiness, and he's spreading that to, and he's taking the messages from other dogs as well. I can't give too much away, but that it's really a journey, you know. So there are some people that can say, and that's the funny thing about dogs, because they are man's best friend, you know. You know, we could see lions get eaten up and sharks, but, oh, man, you can't do it with a dog, and that's something within this production that a lot of people said, oh, my God, this film, how long is it going to take? I mean, you really had to, and I might have some vital information that will be a good interview, but we really – when I stepped in, I'm a dog guy. Phil and Kenny, this is a learning experience for them. Really had to tone down a lot of things that just can't be seen. You know, there's certain things you just can't do because we love dogs, and they can defend themselves, but they can't defend themselves against humans and human tools, you know, and cages and stuff.
Yeah.
So it provokes that, but the story is, it's a beautiful story, I have to say.
Yeah.
Right. It's a beautiful story. We were doing the final
show.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. 929-477-2860. 929-477-2860. We were to have Terry Holt was going to be in with us tonight, but he has not made it as yet. So we're here with Brandon Wynn from Chance, the film. Give us a call with questions, comments, you know, just talk about anything, anything Pitbull related, 929-477-2860. We don't just have to talk about the show tonight, as far as the movie and so on, but that's kind of where we're at now. A couple of things. First, Joe, and you had brought up something that is absolutely something that I've seen as well, and that's the responses that you're getting from this. And I've seen a few people go, oh, this is great. We needed this movie. I'm so looking forward to it. Where can I see it? And then, Joe, and then there's a flip side going, I don't know if I could watch this. And then somebody, I believe it might have been on our Pitbull Advocate page on Facebook, someone said, oh, hell no. And I kind of sat on that for a while. So I just had to respond. I said, well, why do you say that? You know, why would you say that? Oh, hell no. And it was because it might trigger an anger or make her want out, go out and it would just trigger something in here. And and she's not the only one. Honestly, guys, I don't know what to expect from this. I don't know what to expect from this as far as what I'm going to get from it. But a lot of, Brandon, the stuff that you guys have been posting is quite emotional stuff. And then you see that lunge of the dog in the fight, you know, and it's, you know, that, you know, the, just everything that you've done with that visually with that scene. And it's almost, Joe, I don't know how you feel, maybe, you know, I want your input on this. Just that one scene in particular where there's just the lunge of the one dog to another one. It's chilling. And you can imagine that
it is
in a real life situation. And it kind of makes you, and not getting that whole other visual, it really is, it's kind of shocking. And it really it has an impact. Joe?
And the thing is, you know, and this is part of the some of the conversations we've been getting off the trailer is, well, you know, we worked so hard to bury that part of the past. Well, that's part of their past. It's never going to be buried. If anything, dogfighting is still a real big problem in the U.S., and people's eyes need to be open to it. And I think this is a great way to bring it out where more people are going to see it because a lot of the U.S., unfortunately, has a tendency of burying their eyes, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And, you know, this needs to be done. This has been a long time coming, and I'm personally thrilled to be coming to the premiere to see it. You know, I plan on having a lot of fun with it, and I hope a lot of the advocates out there that like that are fighting for these dogs will step up and do the same, because I think this is going to be a monumental movie that makes a change in the U.S., and it's been needed.
I agree. And that's where I had the barks. Yeah, and touch on fighting. Yes, the movie is about it's kind of funny. I want to say the movie isn't even all the way themed around fighting. The beauty of it is that this pit bull has been looked down upon for so long, misunderstood, mistreated, and is finding so much love and it's given so much love. They're one of the most forgiving dogs in the world, you know. And
they are.
Chance is a symbol, and you don't see that. That's the well. Hey, you've never seen a pit bull as a face of something that. That, and if you listen to him, you know, if you really listen to that voice, you're like, goodness, dog has a soul, you know. Like, I have to bow down to Kenny and the director, Kenny Roy, who that designed him, because they did a really good job of designing Chance. You know, it's hard to even say designing, because sometimes I feel like he has a soul. But the beauty is that it is about fighting, but it's also, you know, you got your old yellers, you got your typical huskies, you got your German shepherds. They get the notoriety, and now we brought the pit bull. We brought the bully dog.
You got your Rin,
you know.
Got your Rin Tin Tin, got your Lassie, you know.
Yep. Now we got our chance, you know. And
we've got our chance.
We got our chance.
And that is the
pit bull is a yeah.
It's taken that reputation back. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we talk about the media and how the media portrays them and how it's always, you know, if it's another dog, it's like dog attacks. But if it's a pit bull, you know, or a related breed, or in a lot of cases, not even a dog remotely close to the breeder type as an American pit bull terrier. And it's, you know, it's like people go, the media. It's like, well, you know. It's, you know, let's look back. Let's go back to, you know, if it was a pit bull, you know, punish the deed, not the breed, and that sort of thing. And we can't just keep focusing on one little thing. There's, you know, there's so much, you know, to these stories that we don't know about. You know, and let's put that owner back into the equation where he belongs. And let's not just focus on the dog. Let's focus on the son of a bitch who's responsible for this from the get-go.
Fighting and
there
mistreating.
There is a lot of factors.
You know?
Mm-hmm. There is
fighting
a lot of factors that is never covered in the news story or anything. It's just pit bull attacks. And in a lot of ways, I do blame the media because, you know, a lab or a golden retriever bites and you hardly hear about it, but if it's a pit bull, it's across 20 news media, you know. So the media is at fault in a lot of ways, but that's not the only situation. There's the owner that was mistreating or teaching him to be a guard dog, or on the end of a chain never socialized, or, you know, hundreds of factors that's never covered in the story. Why the dog's this way? It's just a full attack.
There's no follow-up.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, I don't want to tell anybody the media doesn't have their place in this, but they need to be more responsible in their reporting. You know, this isn't just about selling newspapers. This just isn't about getting, you know, viewership on your television news program or your, you know, your thing. There needs to be responsible reporting, and there need to be follow-ups.
Right.
And responsible people. I think I was reading something on. I'm not going to say any names now, but there was a person, dog that got loose and it bit somebody. You know, and every dog's good, and you know, it's still. You got to promote responsible ownership as well, you know. And I'm not meaning it's in a bad way, you know. I mean, I have show dog, literally. I grew up with the American Staffordshire Terrier, got
If you Google My Godfather's Dog, his dog is on the cover. My Godfather's Dog, and I raised that dog. He's on the cover of American Staffordshire Terrier, one of the books, the green book I'll send it to you when we get off. And, you know, I have show dogs, and I've seen two Brittany Spaniels. You know, you put two males next to each other. You know, I'm not trying to say this is the right thing, but two handlers weren't paying attention. Two dominant males next to each other, bam, the dog has a dog on the ground. And these are Brittany Spaniels, you know, dogs that aren't supposed to be fighting. Now, you know, if it was the American Staffordshire Terrier, any bully breed, oh, my God, they're terrible, you know. But it's responsible dog ownership at the same time, you know. And without that, that can affect, you know, if that can affect the outlook, you know, of the breed as well from letting your dogs get loose or, you know your dog's temperament, you know. So it comes down to, I mean, even though we're fighting and that's still irresponsibility, you know, you could think you're being responsible, but, you know, if you have a dog that might not, he might not favor other males, you know, which is strict scientific fact, you know. And so, you know, you let him in the park, you know, and guess what? The pit bull is going to get the bad rap, you know, and get maybe put to sleep. Is the Brittany Spaniel going to get put to sleep? Mm-hmm. Probably not. You know, you know.
It doesn't matter if the Brittany Spaniel started it, the pit bull will take the fall for it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah. So, but that's the beauty of hopefully, you know, who knows? I mean, I know I have a really good, strong feeling that Chance is going to be a big face of these dogs worldwide. Like,
I sure hope so.
Now we're going to hit the media with them, you know? But it's pretty interesting. It's pretty deep, you know? You know, because it is almost like the judge and stereotype. But I'll tell you one thing. These dogs are getting loved by the ounce. Because I remember 15 years ago, nobody wanted to touch them. You know, if you had one, you were the worst thing in the world. And now it's like, you know, people really got to feel and touch and be like, hey, they got to get ones that were mistreated. Or, you know, like, these dogs are freaking amazing. You know?
Mm.
So,
Be responsible before you're held responsible.
I like that.
You know, and I
be
would,
responsible,
you know, be responsible
your
before
health
you're held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
We made a commitment to these dogs when we first got them. And this is with any dog. It's not just, you know, the dogs we know and love as pit bull. We have a responsibility to them. We've been very blessed, fortunate, just to have three amazing dogs in this house. And Joe, you know, from a multi-dog household, they're not all going to get along. So you have to set up. It's a dog thing. It's a dog thing.
And that's any
dog. You know,
that could be a West Highland Terrier. You know.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we have to keep that in mind. We can't humanize them. You know, their behaviors, like a lot of people would try to do, with any type of dog. But we've got them ranging from 14 years to 4 years, you know, and it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that we get up to every day. I love these dogs, and sometimes it's a little bit tough, you know. But, you know, we made a commitment, and that commitment is not just to the feeding and to the, you know, to the vetting and to the care. It is to make sure that they remain safe and out of harm's way, because there's a lot of people out there who would just, you know, especially out here in the country, if a dog gets out, someone's just itching to shoot a dog. Our dogs are never left out unsupervised. We have a responsibility to them, not just for them, to them. Advocates, 929-477-2860. Give us a call, 929-477-2860. Brandon, you said something, if I want to go back to this, you said we crossed the line. Mm-hmm. I know you kind of said a little bit about it, but when you say you crossed the line, and you know, sometimes Joe, you might agree with me on this. Sometimes a line needs to be crossed. What would you be referring to? You know, anything specific to that crossing line?
Well, I'd rather say with a proper word, we say, "Oh, we crossed the threshold." But yeah, I mean, if there was a line to be crossed that you probably just haven't seen publicly in Hollywood or any films, you know, crossing that line into dogfighting world. I mean, when that hand goes up in the film, yeah, I mean, we went into a different territory that's pretty much uncharted in film, you know. And by being able to actually do it, you're not going to YouTube dogfights like that. You know, not that you want to see them. But it definitely, the idea, I don't know if there's a line that it shouldn't have been crossed, but we definitely entered a territory that has been, in a way, uncharted, which is pretty freaking amazing, you know?
Yeah,
we crossed into it. And like I say, early on, I'll give you more details. We're going to have more calls like this as we go, because Chance ain't going over. This thing is going to be going on for a long time. So it's going to be releases. We got iTunes.
Yeah.
We got all this. We got every platform to hit it. So we're staggering them. But, you know, like I say, I mean, Kenny and Phil's a cool guy. Kenny likes to go really deep with stories, but Kenny wasn't aware how serious his problem was when he wrote the script. And the script initially was, they were all friends, and they basically had to go through each dog. Kenny didn't know. That's the beauty of it. Kenny didn't know how serious it was until he started really writing it and was like, holy crap, this is horrible. You know, and that's the beauty of it, that the writer learned as he wrote the film. Not that he researched and wrote on dog. He really thought, like, oh, I could do this. And he was like, this is terrible. You know, and that's the beauty of it. So, and now he's wrote a film that's going to pretty much set the tone and teach a lot of people things. And now it's a story about faith, you know, and it's not about just a dog tournament, you know. But it crossed the line. I have yet to show this trailer to anybody. And the few have seen it. I have friends that have seen it at my house. And nobody's taking their eyes off of it. And you expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most movies, I think we try. Most, I don't want to speak on too many other films. I think we were watching Watership Down the other day, and we tried. Oh, we were watching The Bunnies. We were studying. And it just, it's a different, you know, this film just, it just sucks you right in. But we did it. There's a way you had to do it. You know, we couldn't, you can't, the crazy part, you really can't go all the way there, you know?
Right.
You know, that's how up it is, and you know,
well,
and
you can't even replicate
the reality of a dogfight. You know, you can't replicate that. I mean, that's something you just don't want to see. You know, and that is the beauty of the story, is that, you know, it is not, if I could see one guy that it changed his heart to turn his dogs in, or change the lives of his, you know. You know, if you want to enjoy it and breed them, do it the right way. If I could change one, I'll be okay with that. I'd love to change a million, you know. But if we
where
could
it starts,
get a heart.
That's where it starts, man. Yeah, you've got to get, I mean, because hey, kids. Oh, three dogs and three cats, by the way, Brandon.
Oh, man.
I
got two
dogs. Yeah, so, I mean, with this, you know, you talk about, you know, crossing that line, and, you know, it's maybe it's something that might be a little more graphic than I think what people are used to in the film. I didn't see anything that, to me, that I found to be, you know, like, whoa, you know, but, you know, you kind of, you know, like I say, that one scene when that fight goes down, it grabs you, and it grabs you, and you're going... This being an animated film, and then some of the graphic things that Joe, you and I see goddamn near every day throughout going out there, the effects of this on the dogs, and just I mean, dogfighting has always been a horrible blood sport. It's always been a horrible thing. Just call it a sport is just, they call it blood sport. I, you know, it's just disgusting. Just to see the way it had progressed, and how, you know, you've got these different means of the way that people fight these dogs. they're fighting dogs to the death. They're throwing dogs, you know, trunks, and it's just evolved and just gets worse and worse and worse. And a lot of people are focusing on breed-specific legislation like bans, and mandatory spay and neuters, and other limitations and all sorts of things that they throw on owners. You got to get insurance policies and this and that in some areas. We see a lot of that, but and we're always fighting against anything that is breed specific. But the dog fighting, Joe, I think is something that I would really like to step up our game on and get a little more out there and looking for you know, more of these organizations that are out there, you know, boots on the ground, you know, out in the trenches, you know, because, you know, at least two that I've seen just come up in the last month of these dog fighting rings getting busted, and they're just horrific. And I think personally, Joe, that we need to do a little bit better on that part. I think we can do better. And Brandon, we'd love to have you and Kenny and Phil involved with us in just bringing this stuff and exposing these organizations. You know, like you said, if you can change one person who's involved in that organization, you know, however long they may have been involved in that type of activity, if we can change one person, I think it's worth all the work that you've done.
For
one
sure.
Person.
Oh, yeah. One person. I mean, and you start with
and
one,
where,
you get two, and
where
you get
one
three.
Falls, others will fall.
Yeah. And, you know, it's okay to have, not if you love the pit bull, it's okay to have the hobby, you know? It's okay,
yeah.
not the dog fighting hobby. It's okay to have it. If you want to breed, you know, breed some great ones and healthy ones, you know, chip away and get people to write dogs, but, you know, find another activity. But, you know, and there's also a deeper root with this stuff. It's almost like, all right, you know, what is the deeper root with these fighters? What pain are they running from as humans, you know? And that's a part of it too, you know, which is what was a part of some of our outreach is, okay, deeper into the community, what is the root of some of this, you know? Watching that, or even pure ignorance, you know? So the beauty with Chance is that Chance puts a face to the dog. You just might touch a soul. That's the beauty of Chance.
You know,
with these guys, they're going to watch it. They're going to watch it. And going through his, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to, you know, I don't want to interrupt you. You just, and this is actually, it's going to end up being, this is something that I've been working on for a future show, and Brandon, I'd like to have you a part of it if you're available. And that's the whole thing about, you know, is the breeding, and that is a really hot topic as far as the world of advocacy grows. We talk about, you know, breeding and, of course, the backyard breeders and so on and so forth, and people go, you know, oh, you got to stop all the breeding. You have to stop all the breeding, which is something that I might piss a few people off here, but you know, it's not going to be the first time. I don't think that's a solution because
we're stopping breeding. No,
stopping. You know, just
you say stopping breeding.
Stopping breeding. Stop, completely
the
stopping the breeding of the American Pit Bull Terrier and so on.
The key
I mean,
is going to be
know, they're,
to
they're,
stop the backyard breeding and put into effect some kind of program to keep a limited, responsible breeding going on. Because if we stop all breeding, the dogs that we love are going to disappear. It's that simple. Some breeding has to happen for our dogs to continue on.
Preservation.
And I can see why people think that way. And it's like I've been in the shelters, Joe. You've gone through the shelters, and you know through your years in this, you've seen a lot. But I don't have all the answers. I don't think anybody has all the answers. Or, you know, there needs to be some sort of legislation that, you know, allows people. It's like, you know, Brandon, you're talking about, your show dogs, your American Staffordshires.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like there's mm-hmm. Everybody loves it when the pit bull at a UKC show or a Staffy mm-hmm. and any of the
they love it.
Winning.
Oh, yeah.
Their championships in the show and confirmation mm-hmm. agility, and these mm-hmm. These dogs are they're sound in every way, physically, mentally, and people put a lot of time into this, where others, we're just, I'm just gonna, anybody got a blue or anybody got a red or anybody, and this and that, and they just for the sake of breeding dogs. That's your fucking problem right there.
That's it. Or even, and I hate to say this, or even promoting these steroided dogs that can't even jump up two
mm-hmm.
steps, that's not a pit bull. That's not healthy. And, I have a friend, he plays for the Eagles, actually, Philadelphia Eagles. And I helped him get I hate to say it on the phone like this, I helped him get an Amstaff, but he initially just wanted to get, he didn't know which route to go to get a healthy, good, and yeah, he could have rescued, but he wanted what he wanted, but he took him through, and he's the happiest dude ever. And that's the part of it, and it's not just buying. Because there's a lot of dogs that can be rescued, too, But if you want breed specific, you go to somebody reputable. I don't know how to say it, but it you go to – because he was looking at certain places, and I'm like, no. And you know what? He loves to get the dog that you love, And I don't mm-hmm. care if it's a rescue or not. Get a dog that you're going to be happy with when it's raining and thundering outside, When get the dog that you love. Don't get a dog that, if you're not going to care about it, don't get the dog. Don't rescue the dog. Don't get the dog.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, the dog's going to get loose. And guess where he ends up, So.
Yeah.
What was your quote? Responsibility. What was your quote you said?
Be responsible. Be responsible before you're held responsible.
Hey, man. That's the motto right now, I think. Be responsible before you're held responsible.
I'm the guy that loves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the dogs that we've gotten through rescues like Joe at Love a Pit Rescue, mm-hmm. and Miley is a girl that I've got here that was she was actually a foster of mine before I moved myself to Arizona. And she had not yet been adopted, and made an agreement with Mary where we just we met her halfway. We met her in Bakersfield. And is that your little one, Brandon?
Do you hear him? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hey, buddy.
I'm sorry. I was trying to keep him from
making
a loud cry.
Yeah. And we've got her back here with us, and it's just like just to see her getting back into the mix here, and I just love seeing the progress. And Joe, I know you've seen a lot, and you probably got some stories. We should got to have you back. I'll interview you again on the show, but it's different than raising a pup to your standards. But it's just finding a dog that might have been broken, at some point in his life. And it's such an amazing thing to see, to see them, develop and grow and regain that trust. It's amazing. So, for me, that's where I will continue to go that route. I've got some really great dogs here.
I got four in my pack, and I use a service dog for my epilepsy and autism, and I always use a rescue dog. I always pull a young rescue dog to do service dog work with. So when we're down there in California, you'll meet at least one, possibly two, if my wife gets to come. And they're both rescue to service. And, you know, it's amazing to watch these dogs turn their life around and become dogs again instead of these scared shells that come in. I wouldn't have it any other way myself. I enjoy my dogs.
It's so loving.
You've got a...
sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, you go ahead. That's a tough job doing that rescue. It really is. Advocates, give us a call, okay? We were scheduled to have Terry Holt. He was going to join us tonight, but it doesn't look like he's going to be making it in. But thank you, Brandon, for calling in. Brandon Wynn from Chance, the film, talking about that again. We could go and go and go, but give us a call, 929-477-2860, 929-477-2860, and, you know, give us a call and with your questions and comments about tonight's conversation. Can't do it without you. We'll talk to you, you know, a little bit later. You know, we're still, you know, working on, you know, getting ourselves down there. I'm gonna fly in from Arizona. And be my first flight in 27 years, so that's gonna be an experience.
Are you serious?
Always scares.
This is gonna be your first flight.
Yeah, it always scares me.
Chance is your first flight.
First flight in 27
Chance
years.
Chance
is
making you hop on a plane. Look at that.
Goddamn right.
That's how much it
means. That's right.
To me. That is some cool stuff.
Yeah,
we're gonna make it worth it for you too.
It's just that takeoff, that kind of like you're getting pushed back in your seat and you're going, ah, shit, and then the wheels lift up. You're going, whoa, here we go. Here we go. Dog Mother said to me the other day, she goes, you know, no one's forcing you to do this. I said, no, that's right.
Oh,
no one is forcing me to do it, but I am committed is another thing she said. She goes, well, you're committed. I said, yes, I am.
Appreciate that.
Yes, I am.
We appreciate that highly. And we're going to make sure it's worth it for you. You know, there's a lot of people that are coming out. It's, you know, we haven't even blitzed it yet either. So we have to focus on some hardware things we have to handle. And we just knocked out. We added some really cool audio bits to the film from a producer named Travis Marsh. He's actually a pretty good guy. And I tell you, Pat, this film is, you guys are going to enjoy this film.
No,
you
no
guys
doubt.
Are enjoy this film. I mean, it actually made me, you know, I've seen this film maybe, what, 1,000 times, you know, from editing and et cetera. And I almost cried the other day. And it wasn't a bad cry. It was just like, goodness. You know, it was like a cry of like, wow, you know?
Yeah.
How
long have you been working? Yeah. How long have you
been
working
on it? I've been on it
start to finish.
I've been on it about 2 years. Me and then Phil and Kenny have been at it for 4 years. Phil and Kenny have been at it for 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years
yeah.
they've been working on it.
How long?
And
yeah.
It was. They had to. Yeah, 4 years. And you know, animation does take time to do, but the film was completed last year. It was done last year, but we had to make some changes. To make it, we didn't want it to be R rated. You know, this needed to be seen, you know, it's a little more family friendly. That's it. You know, other little small adjustments. And I'll say this, we get to watch it. It's nothing, but it is. And I don't mean to get sexist or anything, but when you watch it with your significant other, a female or your children, they're okay. Because I had two kids watch it recently. The kids loved it, but you, as a man, I kind of was maybe defend. I was like, you feel it more when you watch it. When I was with my fiance and I had her watch it, she was fine, but it did say, you know what, we need to just tone it a little bit more, you know? So, like you say, what is your rating on it now? Still waiting to get it rated, but the goal is to have a PG-13.
PG-13.
It'll be
probably about the best you get.
It'll be.
Yeah, you're definitely not going to get a G out of this.
No, G or P. Yeah. I wouldn't even want it. We are considering. We have some things up our sleeve though for the kids. Put it that way.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, we have some things up our sleeve, and that'd be good. They could get some early socialization with the pit bull and proper dog.
Yeah.
You know, proper dog ownership.
Yeah, you know, my children were both involved. When they came to visit me, they were always involved with my dogs. And I think the biggest guy I had at the time was my boy Pope. And he was big. I believe he was probably a mix. Might have had some American Bulldog or something else in there. He was a big boy. He was probably about 85 pounds or so. My daughter's walking him down, and my boy's got my little girl Bean at the time. She's probably about 45 pounds, and walking down, we're heading down, and you know, get something down at the juice shack, and this woman says, "Why would you let her walk that?" And I just said, "Because she can." And this dog, when my dogs came to visit, and Joe, I mean, you've got grandkids. And I don't know if your dogs do the same, or Brandon, if your dog does the same, they would put themselves between my children and the door, especially when the door is open. They're always between my children and the front door. And to me, that's an instinctive, it's a tactical position, I guess, for lack of a better description. And I think that is just the nature of any dog looking out for, you know, the family. And I thought, you know, that was the greatest thing to see them just, you know, kind of laying there and the sun coming through the door and breeze and just keeping an eye on my kids. And I've never had any other dog that I felt more comfortable having around my children than my pit bull.
My
girls are always watching after the grandkids here and stuff. You know, if you got a good dog on your hands, I mean, that's part of them. That's what they're supposed to do. You know, man's best friend. They're there for that reason.
Man's best friend. I agree that they are. You know, it takes some a journey to realize that, but they are man's best friend. They're forgiving. Nobody's perfect. No dog's perfect. People have issues and, you know, people have fears, but they are man's best friend, and they're one of the most forgiving animals that I've ever, you know, I mean, they're forgiving, you know?
Yeah.
As far as
you're talking about,
Go ahead. My female Doberman, I mean, a male is just a male. He's just going to do his thing, but if she goes on a walk with him, he's alert. He's looking at everything. He's not an aggressive dog at all, you know. But he's looking, you know, and that's all he needs.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't need to bite anybody. he's a 75-pound Doberman, all muscle. So, you know, no, he's not going to bite you. But he's just a layer. But my female does. When my fiance was pregnant, she knew she was pregnant too. But she will come sit right in between her legs. Like, you know, even if she was standing up, she would just sit there gently, you know, and make almost like a little, you know, barrier protection, literally. You know, not at the door, but wherever she was, she would make sure that. And that's a dobe. It's not an Amstaff. Now, I do have a good Amstaff story for you. I don't know if you want it or not.
Let's hear it.
Well, sorry, it's not a pit bull, but I think they're all the same family. My mom hated him, you know, and I had one in high school. And I'll tell you one night somebody came to our window, and he was the sweetest dog in the world. But that one night, that dog protected my mom so much. When I went to college, she wouldn't even let me take the dog, you know. And he did just enough. He didn't bite anybody, you know. Just poked his head out the window at the right time and barked, you know, and did his job. But I'm telling you, you know, my mom wasn't a dog person, and that dog, his name was Titan, and he's gonna hit my heart now. I mean, they're man's best friend, woman's best friend. I mean, my mom was not a dog person at all, and she wouldn't let me take him. You know, she wouldn't let me take him, and my best friend actually got died, and my mom didn't tell me that my dog had cancer, but my dog died about 2 weeks after my best friend died, and I came home for the funeral from college, and I felt my dog. I knew he was ill. I thought he just had a bug, but I think he held on just enough, you know. He came and lay with me, and he took a really hard, deep breath, and he died 2 weeks later, but I felt it, you know, and that loyalty was just there, and it's man's best friend. I mean, no matter what, they know, you know, and it's they know.
Yeah,
they know when something's going on.
They know
you.
More,
and
they know more about us in the first 30 seconds than we could ever really learn about them, and in a couple of months, weeks, you know, they know more about you and I than I guess we could ever imagine.
And Pitbull.
Bring it back to the. Yeah, you know, and the one person at a time, you're changing one person at a time, and it took several years for this one to come through, and it was with my own mother. I had the two at the time. I had Beanie, which was my eldest. She's a little American Pitbull Terrier, and Shavaya is now our eldest, 14-year-old American Staffordshire Terrier, and we had just had lunch with my parents, and this was right as my wife and I were getting ready to make that move to Arizona from California. And my mother goes up and she goes, "Well, I just want to pet Bean before you go." She went up, dude, it's like eyes got a little watery, and it's just like, took you long enough. you know. I think I won my mother over on that one. She went, it was the first time I'd had her, she must have been 9 or 10 years old at the time, and I'd had her for, probably had her for about 10 years before I'm a mother even, just, and she pet her on the face. 10 years. 10 years it took.
Wow.
But we got her. Got her to,
10 years.
Hey, got her
finally
to pet
did
a
it,
pit
huh?
bull. And
she finally
yeah,
did
and
it.
And I go, well, you want
to.
How
was that?
Yeah, and she, yeah, it was the best. It was, and I go, "How about Shavaya? Are you going to pet him?" She goes, "No, I think that can wait. One at a time, man. One at a time." You know, and it just, I mean, she, I think she finally realized that, you know, even my eldest sister couldn't believe, "Oh, my God, you got a pit bull. I can't believe that." Because, you know, just, and then them learning from my experiences and the things that I had done and the group I had started and getting into advocacy and working to dispel these myths and promote a healthy, positive, you know, thing with, you know, just being out there and trying to do the positive things and socializing my dog and taking her literally just about everywhere I went. She went to work with me. She'd go to the bank with me. She'd go to the cafe with me. We'd go down to a little mini mart. You know, my big guy'd have his saddlebags on, and we'd load him up. You get, you know, get a six pack of beer. Got three on each side, and I get two of everything else that I got with my snacks. And I loaded him up, and you know, and people see this just from you being out and about, and giving them that positive exposure. And Joe, with your, you know, especially with Dosha being, you know, rest her soul, what a beautiful being that, you know, she can go out there and her instinctively, like Brandon, you said, dogs knowing about what's going on with your fiance being pregnant and holding on when you came for that visit when he was so ill, is just, they're amazing and just, you know, with what they do for us. And Joe, getting these girls out there, Cricket and your other girl out there, showing people what these dogs are capable of. It's fantastic.
It
they're fantastic. And if you see their athleticism,
I didn't make my pit bulls service dogs just to be able to take them everywhere. You know, I physically do need them, but because of the reputation that they have, I have a tendency to let them socialize with people by command, and especially Dosha. We had changed so many minds with her. We went from an area surrounded around us that caught us having Dosha come into stores telling us that pit bulls could not be service dogs to being told that our service dogs were the best service dogs train-wise that was coming through their stores and coming out and asking to pet our service dogs. You know, we have done so much education with them being service dogs and able to go everywhere. I absolutely enjoy it on all surfaces. I feel more secure having one with me with my seizures being autism based and all tied together and everything. They keep me on my meds and keep my life more regular. I absolutely love having them in my life as service dogs, and I absolutely love educating people with them.
Me too.
I wouldn't change it.
Hey, Tam.
Hi.
You guys are awesome. Both of you.
Did you hear him? He said we're awesome, both of us.
Both of you.
Thank you, I know.
It's, you know, just and I really hope you get out there and make it down to that screening. You hang out with Brandon and Kenny and Phil and, you know, and check out this film, guys. The big premiere advocates, and we got that news for you. You heard it here first. It's almost like an exclusive, Brandon. This is kind of cool. We get all the juicy bits that you guys are throwing out for us. April 8th, Advocates, is going to be the big premiere, National Dog Fighting Awareness Day, and I think it's just a great day for it to come out. This is, like, you know, Joe, you said some of these comments, people go, I don't know if I can watch this movie or not. I don't know if I can watch it. Well, Advocates, I really think you should. I really think you should watch it. I'm looking forward to it, and I know, you know, you guys, there's a lot of people out there looking forward to seeing this. 929-477-2860. We just got about 25 minutes left on the clock. Actually, it's probably going to be closer to, you know what? Let's just do the hour and a half. It's what we paid for. Brandon, are you okay to stick with us for about another 25 minutes or 20 minutes?
I can do 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, why not?
I know.
I'm a little beat.
I know it's late out there. You know,
like, anything for you.
All right, yeah, I write. You're awesome.
I just got a five and a half hour flight, you know.
Oh my God! I admire your tenacity. And here I am talking. First time, 27 years. I'm going to be in the air for an hour and 35 minutes. You know, it's like you just did 5 hours, dude. I admire your tenacity, sticking around with us, and that's what it's like being a pit bull. You know, that never give in, never give up. You know, we appreciate you being here, but guys, we got some time. Give us a call, 929-477-2860. A lot of people get a little shy to call in here at times. 929-477-2860. We were supposed to have Terry Holt on tonight from the Anti-Breedism Alliance. You know, he's in Australia, and so I'm not really sure. It's already Monday afternoon out there in Australia, but Terry, we're gonna get you back on the show. Definitely get you back here and talk more, because this is the guy that's out there. He's a pretty busy guy. He's got a lot going on, and we always really like to get those advocates that are willing to play hardball, and that never give in, never give up attitude. Is kind of, you know, and unapologetic. too. You know, we gotta fight for these dogs, and we've got, you know, there are ways we go about it, and but sometimes we gotta, Joe. I don't know how many times you've had to really, you know, kind of, you know, almost want to knock something into somebody, you know. It's a tough gig, advocates, and we appreciate everyone out there who's doing, you know, grunting with their rescues and their advocacy groups and their petitions and their, you know, people that are actually showing up to town and city council meetings, board of supervisor meetings, writing and calling your representatives in Washington. Start locally. There's a lot you can do on a local level, and when it comes down to it, there's also things we can do on the federal level, and that's, you know, write those letters, and we're going to get those, some of that stuff posted and put up in our Facebook page, some of those contacts that people can come up with. But you know, of course, you know, in films like Chance, hopefully, Brandon, you guys are going to really, you know, kind of shake it up, shake things up, empower people and make them give them, you know, and even make them just stand up and question, what can I do? How do I start? Where do I start? And just people question that. And the ability to approach an organization and volunteer at your shelter, advocates, because, we've been very fortunate. Our Humane Society out here is, they had a little St. Pity's Day event. So, by the way, happy St. Pity's Day to everybody. And a big adoption event out there for the Yavapai Humane Society, doing some great work out there. They've got a great crew of volunteers working on that. So we just like to get, you know, hopefully, Brandon, this really will, you know, encourage people to really to step it up and get involved. You know, we've needed this. We've needed this for a long time.
I agree.
That's the goal. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a journey. I'm just to see how much controversy is really going to be there. I'm interested to see that once the film is actually out. There's going to be a few to say, I can't watch it. And I hope after 3 or 4 months they get the courage, because the film is really a good film. It's not, you know, it's about a dog who has to get the faith and go through the dog fighting situations, but it's not just a dog fighting film. Is a journey. It is a journey about a dog with a soul, and he has to, and he has belief. He's a dreamer, and that's the beauty of this film. It's a journey. You know, it's a journey. I'm excited.
Now without,
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, without giving too much of this away, without giving too much of the film away, what more can you say as far as, you know, we had talked about, you guys, can you hear me?
Yeah. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't sure if I was cutting out there or not. Sometimes it's this phone, you know, here it does funny things here. You talk about his, people you approach that they wanted you to cut out a lot of these scenes and then kind of leave it to this journey of a pit bull, happy-go-lucky pit bull, just kind of, you know, running around town or, you know, or something like that. How much of the film is taking place outside of, you know, when he escapes? I mean, versus
without,
you know,
giving it,
you know,
away, without giving up your surprise. Let's see. It's a journey. I mean, it's
we don't
got
want,
him.
We don't
got
want,
sugar.
I don't want. I don't want people to go, oh, well, now
Chance.
I know what happens.
Now you got Chance, you got Sugar, you got Hannibal, you have Mutt, who lives outside of the dogfighting area. So we got the little stray dog in there, you know, outside the pit bulls. How much takes place? I'm trying to see how I can answer that and still keep it alive for you. It's a journey. I would say it's a journey that any pit bull or dog can go through. Any dog that seeks to be free, I would say that. How about that? You know,
I like
Chance.
That. I like that.
He's the one that decided to stand up. So, yes, we did focus on the dog fighting aspect of it, but we also focused on other things that these dogs can go through. Whether I don't want to give too much of the story away for you, but a lot of what these rescues go through, I would say that. How about that? A lot of what these rescues go through.
I like.
Is what
is
what we included in the film. That's why I say it's not just about, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger going against or Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know, it's not a blood sport film. The moments are in there, but it's really a journey.
Yeah.
In and out the
and
yard.
And it's not just a movie, advocates. It's a movement.
Chance is a movement.
And I encourage everyone by any means to get out there and to see this film. It's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it. Guys, we're getting ready to close this thing down here. And Brandon, thank you so much for joining us tonight. You know, I did really appreciate you after that. After you've had a heck of a weekend and spending all that time on the flight and coming in and joining us here on the Pitbull Advocate tonight. We really appreciate being here and let everybody else know. You know, Kenny and Phil and everybody that you're associated with there with this film. Anyone involved. Your actors, your voice actors, your animators, your producers, anybody that put time in this film, we thank you guys for that, and we so look forward to meeting you guys all here real soon.
It's coming soon, sooner than you think.
Yeah, all right,
and we're gonna appreciate you too.
Yeah, all right, we're gonna be in touch. We're gonna keep in touch.
Okay. Let's do it. We'll be talking again.
All right.
We'll have many more of these conversations.
Yes, sir. You can
bet on
that.
That's from the heart, man. That's from the heart.
All righty. Advocates, you've been listening to the Pitbull Advocate here on Blog Talk Radio. We missed you, Terry. I hope everything is going well with you, man. We're going to get you back on the show here real soon, but we want to thank Brandon Wynn from Chance the Film joining us tonight. And it means a lot to us, this film. Joe, closing thoughts, my friend.
I think this is going to be a super big thing for everybody in the advocacy world and help us make a big change. I hope everybody goes and sees it and sees what these rescues do daily on rehabilitating dogs and making their lives better. And just really look forward to going to the premiere.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're going to... That could be a game changer for just about everything out there in what we do. We appreciate all your support here, joining us, the Pitbull Advocate, being a part of it. Next week, Advocates, Nicole Fleming has Kauta, the blind pit bull. So, Joe, we've got another special needs episode coming up. That'll be next Sunday, the 24th. We're going to have Nicole on with Kauta. So we appreciate that. them coming on and sharing their stories with us. It's what it's all about. It's all about you, the advocates. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Night.